Okay.
We're not interrupting her.
Here we go. We're in the 12th chapter of Bikurim, Halacha Tesvav. Hopefully we'll finish up the laws of Pidyon Petor Chamor. Halokeach Ubar Chamoro. A someone who purchases the fetus of a donkey shall goy that belongs to a non-Jew. You're just purchasing the fetus. And that fetus is going to be a firstborn. Ohamochar Ubar Chamor Lagoy. Or he sells the fetus of his donkey, which will be a firstborn to the goy. Now, right away, the Rambam says, Afal Pishen Rashoy, even though you're not allowed to do that, because as you'll see shortly, this way you're going to take away this fetus from going to the Kohen, because we're going to see you're going to be freed from redeeming it, and the Kohen will lose money, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. But still, if you do it, Hareza Potter Min Abachora, this fetus is freed from any redemption. Because when you're buying the situation is only a chiv pidyon chamor if the child, when the mother and the child belong to the Jew. And since they both don't belong to the Jew, there'll be no chiv. And therefore, you should not do it initially because now the coin will lose out. However, that's what Rambam now says, though. Ve'ein kontzinos al davar zeh, we will not fine the person for doing that. He doesn't say why, but you think this would be a perfect situation to find them, but we don't. Now, similarly, let's say the non-Jew is a partner in the mother or in the soon-to-be-born Bechor. Even if he has a one-thousandth of a portion in the mother or the child, whatever, Hareza Potter, your excuse, because that's a partnership. It has to fully belong to the Yisrael.
Another way you can get around this law, right?
There's a lot of ways to get away around things. Now, on the other hand, this is interesting. This is if it's a 1/1000th, because you own 1/1000th of the whole animal. It goes right through every molecule. You own 1/1000th of it. As opposed to the next halacha, though. Let's say the non-Jew has a portion within the fetus or the mother, a specific body organ only.
On the tail.
Kigon, yodo, let's say his hand or hoof, whatever, or rago, or his leg. I feel lost in his ear. Here's the rule. If you would cut off that body part that the goy owns, it would now be rendered a blemished animal. That would mean, therefore, the goy is considered to have a significant enough ownership in the animal. Hareza potter min abachor. That would release it from being chayim abachor, because the goy has a substantial amount. But if you cut off the goy's portion, lo yia ba mum la mesbech, would not be considered a blemished animal to not be brought as a korban.
If it was a corporatable animal.
Yes, that's what we're saying. Hareza chayiv. Then you are chayiv because the partnership is not that significant. You don't have such a significant part of the thing. Now, you see, as juxtaposed to the first halacha, even though he owns much less, 1/1000th, but we say 1/1000th, he owes 1/1000th of every molecule of the animal. Okay? And that's different than he has a specific body part. So that specific body may be an insignificant body part, and therefore it would still be chayiv.
So what would be an example of a portion that could be cut off that wouldn't make it bummer?
I would have to look in the halachas of Bechoros. If you look in the fourth chapter of Hilchos Bechoros, the Rambam elucidates that. We'll get to there in a couple of years.
But so I can ask you, Charlie, remember the question.
It could be an eyelid, an eyelid, a lip.
Oh, okay.
Let's say if you have a split on the lip.
Wasn't that the thing with
part of the tail?
Kamsa Bar Kamsa was a split on the lip.
So, or maybe that's not good for whatever. It would be a minor thing. It would obviously be a minor thing that you're selling in. But we'll learn in Hilchos Bechoros. Now, Chena Makabel Chamor Min Agoy Lios Metapulbo. Let's say you receive the donkey from a goy for the purpose of you working with it. In other words, the goy owns it. And now he says, okay, you take care of it, you feed it, and v'havlad b'neim. And then the child will be partnered by both of them. Will belong. In other words, what the goy owns the donkey. He says, listen, for you taking care of the donkey, when a kid's born, we'll both be partners in it.
Yeah.
Or the opposite. Or nachri shekibul miyisrael. Or the Jew owns the donkey, and the goy is the one who's raising it, and they're going to split it up. Hakol pater min abachora. Everyone is excused from having to give the pigeon. Because even the part that belongs to the Jew, you don't have to be chayv in that. Shenemar, as it says, Heter rechem bivnei Yisrael ba'odom uva behema. The firstborn that comes from the donkey, from the belongs to the Jews by a person or an animal. In other words, the pet derechem, regardless of a person or an animal. And that means, achi hakol b'Yisrael, b'vnei Yisrael, has to be entirely Jewish. That's what we learn from b'vnei Yisrael, and therefore it's not entirely Jewish. Tezayin, a fairly straight and simple halacha. Gershon is gair, a goy who converts. Venya duan, we don't know exactly when he converted. Did he give birth, did his donkey give birth to the firstborn before he converted? Oashishkar, after she converted? Then what's, it's a shiloh. Now when we learned before by Pidyon HaBen, what did we say? You're completely potter, because right. It's only a monetary issue, you have to prove it. But here there's two issues here, remember. There's the monetary issue and the kedusha. Well, in terms of the suffix, we still don't know who it belongs to, and that animal still has holiness. So what do you do? Well, you got a choice here. Either Hareza, the coin doesn't have to get it. You don't have to give it to the coin because he proved that I should give it to you. But you can't keep it either. So either Hareza Chayv Laruf, either you got to cut its head off and bury it because there's nothing you could do with it. Oliftos, or you could redeem it anyway and let the coin get the benefit of it. Now here's it, but remember, no, it comes out better. The impada is saying, when you redeem it, remember, you've redeemed it. Remember, how does it work? You take the donkey, you say, this sheep is going to redeem it. Now you redeem it.
Done.
Now, the coin says, could I have it? Prove it's yours. So he doesn't get that either. So this, so therefore, he would not want to cut the neck unless he doesn't have a sheep or any. He has nothing to redeem it. You have to be broke.
The coin doesn't get the sheep or the
nothing because you prove that you own it.
Yeah, but he borrowed the sheep and give it back because the coin can't take it anyway.
What all I'm saying is, obviously, it would make sense for him to get a sheep and redeem. He doesn't have to have a sheep. Remember, because you're taking value of the money. But whatever. That's the halacha. Obviously, it would seem that he would want to redeem the sheep and keep it in the same. Because he doesn't have, because the coin has to prove it's his, and he can't prove it's his, therefore he can give him. We've had that before. Now, that's what we said. Why? Shamotzi mechavero, olivarai, because the one who wants to take the money from the person has to bring the proof. The coin has to prove that it belongs to him. And therefore, that clearly there's no isser on the chamor, because you've taken off the kedusha, it's gone on to the set, as it were, and now the coin has no right to it. Yud Zayin, Goy Shehifrish Petr Chamor. What if a Goy, just regular Goy, regular donkey, he says, you know what? I am redeeming this donkey with this sheep, and I want to go to the Kohen, which is totally worthless. So what do we do?
Kedusha.
Modiyana, so we tell him, She'eino Chayiv. Listen, man, you weren't Chayiv at all to do this, and therefore there's zero Kedusha, nothing happens. Zero. This animal is not Osir Ba'na. And now we just make this reference so no one makes any mistakes to think maybe the animal, the goy is Jewish or whatever, or there was a chiyuv and now the Jews are terrible and they don't take whatever. V'harehu mutar, and this everything is mutar. Begiz of avoda, you could shear it, you could work, do whatever you want. There's no isra no on it, and that sheep does not belong to the kohen. Now, if he wants the kohen to take it,
Wants
to give him a gift, he could, but there's absolutely no halachic value to this. Okay, Yud Ches, we touched on this idea before. Para, a genuine cow, Shiolda Kamin Chamor, but it gives birth to something that looks like a donkey.
Oh,
okay, it is a calf, but the calf looks like a donkey. Or the reverse. O Chamor Shiolda Kamin Sus, or a donkey that gives birth to something that looks like a horse and has no simonim of a chamor at all. Now, remember, it's genetically a donkey, but it is a horse. Okay? Potter, there's no chiv of any redemption. Shenemar, it says, Upeter Chamor Tifte Beseh. It says, the firstborn from the donkey you will redeem with a seh, and then it runs on to the next pasuk, and the pasuk runs on, Upeter Chamor. Upeter chamor. So shtei pamim. It says the words peter chamor twice. Why does the Torah have to say peter chamor? It could just say it. Why is it? It could use the pronoun.
It looks like one pronoun.
So therefore, why do you say peter chamor twice? In other words, to teach us, ache hayolet, you must have the birthing mother. Chamor must be a donkey. Vanolad chamor, and the child must be a donkey, not just genetically. V'imyesh bo mikzas simone chamor. What if it has some signs of a donkey? Let's say it's a kind of a horse-looking donkey or donkey-looking horse. Okay? Chayav bebuchar, you'd be chayav to give it with the petarechem.
Oh, really?
Be, I guess rabbinically, or maybe there's enough simonim.
Of course, be cow, right?
Yeah, whatever it is.
What's a simon of a donkey?
I don't know.
The ears, the tail.
Yeah,
I guess it's a honky.
Yeah, so anyway, then you would be chayav bechor. Okay, now we come from here to the end, my friends, almost to the end. Come back to more of these cases of you don't know which one was the first one, was the second one, he owned one donkey, two donkeys, there's all these, is one, two, three, four halachas for sure, and then the last two are also interesting. Chamoro, he guys got a donkey, Shlo Bichra, did not give birth to any children yet. The Yolda Shnei Zecharim, and now it gave birth to two donkeys. This one mother donkey gave birth to two donkeys. The only thing is, we don't know which one is the Bechor. Well, we obviously know that one is a Bechor. We don't know which one it is. So no saying, Tolat Lekohen, you give a sheep to the Kohen, because we know for sure he owes one. How about Yolda Zachar and Kefer? What if the twins is a male and a female? We don't know which one was first. So what you tell me without going ahead, what do? You tell me without going ahead.
You redeem it, you can keep it.
You redeem it, and you can keep it.
Yeah, because the Kohen can't say it definitely.
That's right. So mafrish talechad, you separate one sheep, kedei lahafkia kedusha mena, to remove the holiness from the donkey. Atche mutar banos, so now the donkey's permitted to have anoa. Because why? Because shema hazochar no letchila, because maybe the male was born first, and then you'd be chayiv. But the sheep that he separated and redeemed it off of, Labaolim, remains the owner's. Vein lekohen, the coin doesn't get it, because the rule is. Right? Shamot simechavreit. Who wants to get the money has to prove it.
We're redeeming donkeys because of the help that they gave the Jews on the way out of Egypt, right?
Yeah.
So why not a female donkey being redeemed because they helped just as much as the male donkeys on the way out of Egypt?
It's a
bechor, male. I don't know. Well, same thing with the Bechoris and Mitzrayim. The same thing, you know. We only redeem firstborn males. What about females? You know, same thing. They could have died. Whatever. Anyway, that's the rule. That's the rule. Chaf shtei chamorav. The guy owns two donkeys now, and neither of them had children until now. Shelo biachru. The yoldu shnei zharim, and now two males are born. We don't know which gave birth to which male. Then obviously, no saying shneit loin lekohen. You have to give two sheep to the kohen. Period. Next, what if now you have?
You give two sheep to the kohen.
Yeah, because there were two animals, two donkeys.
Only one.
Two donkeys, and there were two, and there were two.
And
there were
two. Sorry, I'm sorry.
They didn't have any kids yet. Firstborns. Now, same case. Two donkeys, firstborns. But what were born? Either case number one, zochar unikeva. Either one gave birth to a male or a female. Or shnei zecharim unikeva, two males in an ikeva. Still, no saying toleh echad lekohen. In either case, you only give one sheep to the kohen. However, we must add a little bit to this. In the first case, where it's a male and a female, that's straight pashut. One to the kohen, there's nothing more to add. But when it's two males in an ikeva, there are a number of possibilities here. It could be both of them first gave born to a male. And the second one gave birth to a female, or it could be one was a female, or and a son, a boy afterwards, or one was a female, the other one was two boys. So therefore, one you have to give for sure, one it's a suffix. We say, wait a minute, it's a suffix, you have to separate. So the Rambam doesn't say it, but he would separate it, but he only says you give the coin one sheep. So you have to add in between the lines. In this last case, he'd have to give them one sheep, separate two sheeps, give one to the coin, and the other one says, prove it's yours, and he can keep it.
For the majority, you have to separate, but he keeps it.
Can we go back to the beginning of the 20?
Yeah.
I don't understand the first part. Like, what's the big deal? What's the finish?
It's the setup. It's the setup. It's setting up for the next case. That's all. Ramon tells you the simple things. He goes to the simple one, then he goes to the simple. He's done this throughout. He did it in the last chapter, too. Yeah. He gives it, the point being, even though you don't know which animal is being redeemed for what, still, you have to redeem both. That's all. That's all. It's not a huge chiddush. Okay. Okay, fine. So you send him a letter. Okay, we're back with two donkeys. Still with two donkeys, guys. Yoldu, they gave birth between the two of them. Shtei nekevos v'stocher. Two females and a zocher.
Or...
So therefore, the maximum possibility is you have to redeem one, obviously.
That's the maximum.
And there's no proof to that.
It's a suffix on everything.
Right? Or let's say, oshtei zecharim, oshtei nekevos. Two males and two females. Could very well be
two. He
owes two or owes nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Ain kan l'koin klum. The coin gets nothing.
Exactly.
But you must, and look at this. Look at this. And he doesn't have to separate anything. Because there's many, many doubts. Again, it's going to be one of these majority doubts situations that we had.
We had so much problem with last time this came.
And even though, like, why don't you just separate it and be safe on this, right? But there's so many doubts over here. And the Rama doesn't really word it so well, but we'll try to figure it out over here. Okay, well, we could do it better than the way the Rambam's going to say it inside. If we did it outside, we'd come a little quicker. He says, Shema ha'achas yolda zocher. Maybe one of them gave birth to a male, right? Vashnia yolda shtei nekevas. And the other one gave birth to two nekevas. Well, that's the side that he'd have to give. Oh, Shema zu yolda nekeva. Maybe this one gave birth to a nekeva. Vacheres zocher, vacherev nekeva. And one of them gave a boy and a girl. That's also a side you got to pay.
It's
two to pay. Onekeva vacheres zocher. Or maybe it was a female and afterwards a zocher. Now, I guess what he wants you to understand is that, and the other, and all of them have opposites that would also not be chayiv. So therefore, if we do it outside on our own, we'd probably be able to figure it out easier. Obviously, with shtei nekevos and a zocher, let's look at all the possibilities. Okay, two girls and a male,
yeah.
Right? Well, possibly one had a male, female, and one had a female, then a male.
Right.
Not chayiv. Now, that could be on one animal. It could be on the other animal.
Yeah.
The other man also could have been that way. All right? The other possibility is that you had a male first. All right, so you got more possibilities that it shouldn't be chayiv.
There's two.
All right,
it could be either one.
Two males and two females. There's also now there. It's a little bit tricky because, but I see this is where you have to come onto that other logic where it's two different types of sveikos.
Right,
it's two different types of sveikos. That's where you say sveik lahachmer, not a majority of sveikos, but two different types of sveikos over here, and therefore could be that there were females. First, right? That would be one.
Yeah.
And what would be the other? What would be the other subject then? When you had two, out of there were four born, two males and two females.
A female and a male, a female and a male.
Okay.
What's females first?
And the other way around.
Okay.
So that would be equal.
Or the majority of the animals coming from one animal.
No. So the commentator says if you look at each, he said like this: if you look at each one of the donkeys. Not at both of them. If you look at each one, there's a preponderance of sveikas. Look at donkey number one.
You don't know how many donkeys the animal had.
Donkey number one could have had two girls.
Right.
Donkey number one could have had a girl and a boy.
Right.
And donkey number one could have had a boy and a girl.
Also.
But two different types of sveikas, right?
He's also could have triplets.
Yeah, it could have had
triplets in one.
No.
Wow.
No, he says two and two.
How about two boys?
Why not?
Right.
Donkey one could have two boys.
We're assuming each had two, right?
Yeah.
Right.
How do you just say
maybe she didn't have a male. Wait, maybe she didn't have a male at all, right? Wait,
right.
No, more. Maybe she didn't have a male at all. That's right. One doubt. Second,
yes.
Even if she had a male, maybe she had a female first.
Right. Two doubts.
Right? So therefore, now, although you could really flip it around
and
equally.
Male, yeah, male, but
he's saying it's two different types of doubts. And we have two different types of...
Two males and two females. It doesn't say how many each.
Obviously it's two.
Why could it be three and one?
Well, they don't say that. They don't mention that as one of the possibilities.
Maybe don't.
And you could flip it. You could flip it the other way around also.
Yeah.
But each it seems from this Rambam, you don't need the majority of doubts. But as long as they're two separate sveikos.
Two separate ones. I don't understand the separate ones.
Two girls.
That's the first kind of doubt. We don't know by the. We're going by the majority of doubts. We're talking about two different types of doubts.
He didn't say that different? Now. He just said there's
the
two
rabbis.
But he says sveik aluchumra.
Okay.
So I'm trying to understand what the different types
of... I'm not clear either. But he's enough... For some reason, it's enough to have a sveik.
Yeah.
It's enough for a sveik. It doesn't seem to be consistent with other Rambams. Okay. Vechein, and he goes on, Vechein, Sveikas, Harba, Yesh, Bishnei, Schorim, Ushnei, Nekevas. Oh, he's mentioning there's more doubts. There can be doubts, you know, with two Zachars and two Nekevas. So the first case of the doubts was with one Nekeva and
the first case.
What was the first case?
Two females, one male.
Two females and one male. Yeah. And now he's saying with the two males and the two females.
Okay.
So first harba yesh b'shnei schorim b'shnei nekevas. Many doubts with two males and two females. Okay, stop. Next case. How about achas bichra? One already had kids. V'achas lo bichra. One didn't have kids. V'yoldu shnei schorim. And now two males were born. V'nis orv when they got mixed up. So now what do we do?
Give a sheep.
No Saint Plechel coin. One has to go to the coin, mm-hmm. for sure. Zoch and a keva, male and a female. Mafrish Plechel, last small. He separates one and he keeps it. Veino knows going to have the coin. It's a suffix. So that is one suffix, you see. But when it's two, any, it seems from here, any two suffix is enough. They doesn't have to give him.
And he's saying separate.
Suffix not to give. Okay, next. Chaves. What if you purchase a donkey from a goy? You don't know if that donkey ever had kids before.
Huh.
And now you own it. The old dessert has a boy. So, same thing. Poda Saba said you have to redeem it with a sheep. And he keeps it. Since it's a doubt.
Sorry, did we do that?
Yeah, it was in the middle. Yeah, you spaced out because it was in the middle of the halacha. Okay, Chav Gimel. Okay, now it gets a little interesting here. Mi shahoyelo eser kloim. He's just dividing it up into two halachas. Here was a one halacha. Someone has 10 sheep. Now, what did you do with that? Kol echad mem hifrishal suffik petach hamor. 10 different times, you had 10 situations of a doubtful donkey. And you separated it, but you got to keep it.
Yeah.
You understand what's going on over here? 10 times, and each time you got to keep it. Now, here's going to be the issue now. Now, you got 10 sheep over here.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you have a chiyuv to... Well, first of all, you got to look at, are the sheep considered totally chulin, A? Mm-hmm. And what about tithing? Every 10 animals you eat, you got to tithe one.
Yeah.
So what are we going to say? Well, since it was really, it was switched to help out and was redeemed, maybe it's not included. Maybe it's excluded from the general tithing. So Rambam says, no. Harein kechulin l'chol dover. They're considered mundane, like mundane like always, as if nothing special happened to them. Uma'asrin kesharbem. And you have to give miser on these 10 sheep. They're part, remember, if let's say, forget about anything else. You just have sheep. Every 10 sheep are born a year, you got to give one to the coin. Finished.
Sure.
So of these 10, these 10 sheep were redeemed for a donkey, 10 separate sheep. So you might have thought maybe they're not part of the laws of having to give miser. So we're saying you have to give miser like anything else because they're completely mundane.
Didn't the sheep owner give one when they were born originally?
Not these 10.
No, they were the other 9.
They were the 9.
Not necessarily. Let's say these are the only. Let's say these are the only 10 he had.
Yeah, he only has 10 sheep, and these are the ones he got.
No, but he had to give one of those.
No,
he didn't.
It was added one at a time during the course of the year. Right, there were certain ones born. They don't all happen at one time. Right,
it's only when they're all born.
And only one season. You don't give them every minute. So at the end of the year, when it was time to give, he had 10. Those were the 10. Those were the 10 that used.
Okay, but
forget about that. This is where the law would be no gay. Wouldn't be no gay in another case. This is where he's pushing the envelope. He's saying these are the only 10 he has, let's say. He hasn't separated on these 10. So, okay. But you tell the chid, the point is to know it's fully chulin. Do you think maybe since they were used to separate, maybe they wouldn't be considered part of the regular flock? So he's saying they are. That's all. They're totally chulin to the extent that you have to give miser.
When you give it.
And that's what he says. Umafri Shechem and Meiser, and one of them is separate as Meiser, Vashor, and the other 9, Shaloka Show. He gets to keep them like they always were.
It's as Paul would say, taxable property.
That's what Paul is saying. They're already Meiser, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, if you Meisered one, then you'd be okay.
That's what I was
saying. But the point we're trying to make is there's no Chi of Meiser. Okay, the last one's just a wee little bit tricky, but it's not that hard at all. Okay, now, I don't know if you have a chart, but I have a chart.
Nope.
Okay. So we're going to deal with, we'll start like this. You have a Yisrael. I made the chart. Oh. You have a Jew. I'm going to say the case. I'm going to say the case the way it is. The Rambam like picks it in the middle, then goes up, and then goes down. Like, let's do it. Let me tell you the case, and we'll look at it inside. There was Yisrael, and he had 10 donkeys, and they were all firstborn donkeys.
Okay.
And they all were required pidyon peter chamor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He had not yet got around to doing it, and he died.
No.
He died. So there's 10 animals that need a pidyon peter chamor. He had a daughter. Now, the daughter married a Kohen. Now, the man died. So now, what?
The owner dies.
Hold on. Let me take this further now. I'm going further. I know you don't see it there. I mean, just listen to me. I'm going to, right? So let's go further. Now, the Yisrael had a daughter who married a Kohen, and they had a son who's a Kohen.
Of course.
Yes.
Okay.
That's no logic.
So now, who is the one who, now the Yisrael died, who's the direct inheritor? Is this Kohen?
Yeah, right.
The grandson, not the son-in-law. The grandson. The grandson is a Kohen, and he inherits these 10 animals from the Kohen.
Right. Right.
From the
blood,
Yisrael. From the Yisrael.
Blood relative,
he's the blood relative.
Right.
The son-in-law doesn't get. The
right.
Kohen son-in-law doesn't get.
The
Kohen
grandson,
sure, right? Sure. The Yisrael, he has a daughter. She married a Kohen. They have
can't
a son.
The woman decide who to give it
no,
to?
No, no, no. She doesn't inherit. It goes straight to the grandson.
He can give it to himself.
Goes right to grandson. Hold on.
Next.
Before he decides what to do with it.
Oh, no. Don't say it.
Okay, well, let me tell you beforehand. This grandson of a Kohen, had a daughter.
How old are these donkeys?
Forget about it. This Kohen had a daughter who married a Yisrael, and he has a grandson who's a Yisrael. So you have a Yisrael whose grandson is a Kohen,
right.
Who that Kohen, his grandson, is a Yisrael. You got that? I'll do it one more time. You have a Yisrael who has a daughter. Okay? She marries a Kohen.
Yes.
Now, they have a son who's a Kohen,
sure.
Who's the grandson of the Yisrael.
Right.
Now, this Yisrael lived a long time, obviously. This first Yisrael. Generation one, Yisrael. He has a daughter. Generation two marries a Kohen. Generation three is the grandson, is now a Kohen.
Generation
okay?
Four.
Kohen has a daughter, generation four, who marries Yisrael. Who has a grandson himself is Yisrael. Is Yisrael. Now, what happens? The original Yisrael died. The Kohen grandson inherits it for a couple hours, whatever.
And
then he dies.
Oh, no.
And now all the 10 donkeys go to this Yisrael 5 generations now.
I was wondering about
this. The Yisrael's great grandson of a Kohen.
Right.
Question is, what do you do with the 10 animals?
I think that the first grandson is Pater because it goes in a circle, right? Even if he only owned it for 5 hours, he could theoretically give it to himself, and he's Pater. And then, so the animals are Pater after that.
Okay, so let's...
So why would you say, this is what you do. Amotzi mechaper alaya, right? He separates ten, he keeps them himself.
Anytime we ask
he has to do my
crazy...
Done.
Okay.
Finished.
So what do you say, Yesu?
I say, Hamotzi mechaver alai araya. So he separates 10, he keeps them, and he has to do maiser on them.
If they pass through the grandson...
Maiser on what?
On the 10 sheep that he takes, but for the exchange for them.
Okay.
Did
you read ahead?
No, but I would
let's
say...
But if they pass
so let's take a look inside.
If they pass
it's already coming up to half an hour.
Why is
Yisrael. Okay, now
we'll
this
tomorrow.
This Yisrael that is Shahayulo Asore Pitre Chamor and Vadoim. He had 10 donkeys that Vade needed to be redeemed. Okay? Besoch based on his house. Oh, but not Shenuffalo that fell to him. We're talking about the fifth generation guy now. That fell to him from who? Mi base avi imo Kohen. From the house of the father of his mother who was a Kohen. In other words, his grandfather was a Kohen. But also avi imo Kohen, and that grandfather of the Kohen, Nuflu, he got inherited, mi base avi imo Yisrael, from the father of his mother who was a Yisrael.
Right.
Got
as
that?
You, as you explained it. You
so a Yisrael, right. Whose grandfather was a Kohen, who inherited from a grandfather who was Yisrael.
Yeah.
Exactly the way I explained the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does he do? Hareze mafri shalem asara, saying he has to separate 10 sheep to redeem them, but v'heim shol, he keeps all 10 of them. And then, wait a minute, v'chayavim b'meiser, and those 10 are obliged to give meiser, and I'll have to give one for meiser. The logic is like this. That Yisrael, let's start from the beginning. The Yisrael, the first Yisrael who died, when his Kohen grandson inherited, he already has the rights to keep it for himself. Even though he did not yet, quote unquote, keep it for himself.
Right, but
he had the rights to keep it for himself. So now this Yisrael grandson from him, he inherits the right to keep them
for himself.
But as Yisrael, like his great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, they still had a chamor that had to be separated.
Right.
So there's a chamor that had to be separated, but he's inherited a right to keep it. So therefore, he just separates it because that's from his great-great-grandfather. And because of his grandfather, he gets to keep them. He has the right to keep them. And still, since nothing was given, there's 10 animals and nothing's been given. So now you have to take one out of the 10 to give it regularly, like any one of the 10 has to be given.
Are we talking about Meiser or are we talking about redemption?
We talked about everything. We hit the whole thing.
Is the bottom row because of Meiser?
Because
the Kedusha is gone. When the Kohen gets it and goes in a circle, the Kohen.
He didn't do anything yet with it. That coin.
Yeah, but he had consciousness of it. Even if it's 5 years. We learned this case.
Doesn't have to be holy, Howard.
We're not holy. Meiser is not holy. It's one every 10.
No, no, no. So the Meiser, I understand, but the redemption doesn't take place, right? There's no redemption.
No,
Yisrael
has to redeem them, but he inherits the right from his grandfather.
When it hits the Kohen in the middle level, didn't we say we had this case before where he had consciousness of it?
He'd have to take it, though. He didn't take it yet. He died before he got around to getting it.
I thought
we'd see him.
He'd have to take it.
I thought we said he just had to have consciousness.
No. We have to take it. Okay, that's it. What? Sliku lahu hilchas bikurim? We've finished the laws of bikurim? Yeah. Oh, blessed be God who grants assistance.
Why is that line there?
Oh, here.
Sliku lahu.
No, sliku lahu hilchas bikurim bisyata deshmai. We finished the laws we have with God's assistance. Okay, Shigaya.
A few weeks ago.